and welcome to another episode of How Are You Holding Up, a mental health podcast by the depressed for the depressed. I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Chris.
And the first question I want to ask is, Chris, how are you holding up?
Well, I actually have had a busy week. A lot of overtime, a lot of kind of going from home to work and home to work, and that's always good. Went to a birthday party last night at Medieval Times.
Good.
Which was fun. Got to watch the knight in our section get his ass kicked.
Oh, no.
But it's okay. That bastard red knight didn't end up winning. So, you know, that's cool. But Lindsay, how yes. are you holding up?
I am a little overwhelmed. I'm moving and I just got a new job about a week ago. And everything is just happening very fast. And I don't have time to think, which is good. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing better at forcing myself to sleep early. Benadryl is great. Take Benadryls if you can't sleep. That drowsy allergy medication is fantastic. So in a lot of ways, I'm really good and I'm thankful. I am just a little overwhelmed, but happy to be doing the podcast.
Yes.
Yay.
Yeah. So, if this is your first episode, welcome. Yes. Thank you for tuning in. I have a little bit of a story to kind of get us started, actually, because it ties into our topic this week, which is going to be success and self-worth. You see, I had a nice thing happen this last week, and it was only at work, so, you know, a lot of us kind of tie our success into our work life, or some of us tie it into other facets of our life. It doesn't matter, but for me, I usually tie success into my work life. And the thing that happened this last week was I got a key card. Now,
what does your key card do?
My key card allows me into the building that I work at.
Okay.
Until this point, I had basically been, I've been reliant on my coworkers to let me in. I have to call either our coordinator or something, and they will come down, they will open the door, and they'll let me in. But now, I've been working so constantly and consistently that it's finally gotten to a point where they're like, yeah, sure, here's a key card.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I am so incredibly, like, happy about that. And it's such a small thing. Like, most people would just be like, okay, cool, you got a key card, whatever. But for me, it all ties into just that feeling of acceptance. That finally I'm kind of like legitimizing my position in the company.
Absolutely.
And that like I'm trusted, and it something like that, it really helps you feel like, yes, I'm doing right things, I'm doing my job, and I'm doing it in a way that is good.
Yeah, it's a symbol of that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been kind of dealing. And the reason why this story has any relevance to today is been dealing a little bit with some imposter syndrome, which I know you're familiar with as well.
Yeah. Yes.
For those of you out there who are not familiar with imposter syndrome, it is it's interesting. It was originally kind of discovered in the late 70s. It was actually research done on high powered like. Business women, and they thought that it was almost exclusively applied to that demographic, which we've since learned that obviously it's not. This is a human phenomena.
Right.
And so it's basically the idea that you are in a position of success, you have reached a pinnacle of what you want. But you don't feel like you have necessarily earned it, or that your earning it has been in some way attributed to luck. And so you just kind of sit there going, well, how long is it going to be until my peers or my superiors find out that I'm a fraud?
Mm-hmm.
It's not, however, a mental illness in and of itself.
Right. It's just emotional condition. Like, yeah.
It's an experience. Yeah, it's a phenomenon. It's similar to the Call of the Void, which we're going to have an episode on that. Trust me, that's a whole other can of worms there that's going to be fun to open.
So how does your self-worth come into play with your imposter syndrome?
So we're actually going to kind of differentiate a little bit here. Self-worth and self-esteem and self-confidence.
Woohoo.
Because I'm of the opinion that these are all three different things.
Okay.
But you are absolutely right. My self-worth does tie into this kind of imposter syndrome in that I am a person who I don't feel worthy of a whole lot. I don't feel I'm worth the time and effort to become friends with or maintain a friendship with. I mean, there's no evidence to suggest this.
But I'm assuming because you're experiencing low self-worth, you create evidence to the contrary.
Yeah, absolutely. It's part of, like, when we talked about bad thoughts and things like that, like the dark thoughts in episode 3, it's a lot of that is fabricating evidence in your mind of, well, sure, this person may say there's nothing wrong with me messaging them whenever they want, but I'm sure there's going to be a tipping point where they're not going to want to hear about what's going on and this, that, and the other thing.
Mm.
Or in, like, the worst case scenario for me, which is always, like, I have something that I have talked about ad nauseum, but it's still bothering me or it's still affecting me, but I can't just talk about it over and over and over again because after a while, I'm just repeating myself.
This is where I would like to make a note that having a therapist is great.
Yeah, I know, right?
So, just a little note. Chris, you do not go to therapy, correct?
I do not because I haven't had a good therapist in a while.
And I do go to therapy, and I was lucky. To be fair, I go to a therapist regularly, and I've been going to her for a few years now. So, I would just like to say that for some people, therapy is great because it gets you out of those loops. Anyway, moving forward, I think it would be a great time to talk about the difference between self-confidence, self-esteem, and self-worth.
Absolutely. So, folks out there, I'm sure you've all kind of heard, you know, you just gotta have self-confidence, or you just gotta get, you know, you gotta boost your self-esteem, or just kind of dig up your self-worth, or whatever other, I think I made up that last phrase, but anyway, you've got these three different terms that roughly could be construed as being the same thing.
When I thought we were doing the self-worth, self-esteem episode, this episode, I actually sat down and had to look into what's the difference between self-esteem and self-worth, because I think it's important, like you're saying, to differentiate, because it's a tool to be able to know the difference.
Absolutely. Like that with me, I have a very strong difference between my self-confidence, my self-esteem, and my self-worth.
So what's self-worth?
So self-worth to me, Let me actually do self-confidence first. Because,
okay, yeah.
Because self-confidence is like the baseline, something that's almost influenced by outside stimulus.
Okay.
Like, self-confidence is based on what you're able to do. This is your, you know, you usually get self-confidence by doing something over and over again to the point where, like, yeah, no, I'm proficient in this.
Right, so an example would be, I play piano. I've played piano for 20 years. I could teach beginning level piano.
Yes, exactly. You have self-confidence in your ability to teach piano.
Right.
Self-esteem is based on sort of the identity that you have made for yourself. Like, I feel like I'm a good person, or I'm a hard worker, and that I have a self-esteem, and yeah, that is a person that I am. This is usually kind of manifested by almost a drive. Like, you want to be this kind of person. Here's where self-worth comes in. You may adopt an identity as esteem, but worth, your self-worth, allows you to put a degree on it, or as well as an impetus to continue to improve that part of yourself. Like, for example, you can have a horrible drop in self-esteem because of your depression, or you failed something that you felt confident about, or you're just disappointed by the outcome of something, but it's your self-worth that allows you to not dwell in it and allows you to actually, like, pick yourself up.
Yeah, I think I was reading an article and it said, self-esteem is what we think and feel and believe about ourselves. Self-worth is recognizing I am greater than all of those things. It's deep knowing that I am of value, that I am lovable, and that I am necessary to this life.
That's right. That's completely right.
Yeah.
Like, your self-worth, I think this also kind of ties into motivation versus discipline.
Okay.
Which, man, we're just branching all over things now.
I know, I feel bad.
No, it's okay. But, like, it's true. Like, you can have your self-esteem kind of boosted by some sort of motivation. Like, yeah, I can do this. Mm-hmm. I feel inspired to eat right today and do the good shit. And motivation only lasts so long, though.
Mm.
Like, you ever notice that when you're like, for example, if you're on a diet, you may be motivated, like, at the beginning of the year, you do your New Year's resolution kind of shit, and it's like, you know, rah, 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 rah. New year, new me, woo. And then you may watch your weight, and you may, you know, weigh yourself and eat right for the first week, and then you're like, okay, maybe not so much the second week. Or not so much the third week, and then not at all the fourth week.
And this, I think, turns into a vicious cycle for a lot of people, because then all your self-esteem is tied to this thing that crumbles, mm-hmm. and your motivation's gone, so you feel like there's something wrong with you. Actually, very good TED Talk that I watched once talked about that motivation, you only have a little bit of it. Mm-hmm. You only have a little bit a day, you only have a little bit for a project, and then the rest is discipline.
Yes, absolutely, yes!
And practice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, 'cause that's the kind of, the thing that I'm thinking about is, like, for motivation, it's like, I'm gonna go back to fixing cars because that's a thing that I like making similes about. It's basically like fixing... You're going to fix your car using tools made out of styrofoam or wood. And that's, like, the styrofoam is going to disintegrate instantly. The wood, you can maybe, like, use a little bit and it'll kind of work, but then it'll break. It'll break way more easily than the tool called discipline, which is made out of steel and will actually hold itself a lot more accountable.
I used to do this a lot. Where I'd put my entire self-esteem on, you know, focusing on thinking more positively, developing healthy personality traits, doing different things. And then suddenly here comes depression. And those healthy thoughts and those healthy changes I was making would kind of vanish. And then my self-esteem would plummet because I was like, oh man, I'm not doing this thing anymore. I'm worthless. I'm garbage. I'm shit. And that's where, if you have good self-worth, that doesn't happen. And you can feel like, man, I screwed up. I've stopped following through with what I said I was going to do. But hey, I'm going to cut myself a break because I'm going through a rough time right now. And I, as a person, am worthy. I'm still lovable. I am worth good treatment of respect. I'm not going to treat myself like garbage over this. And I think it's interesting because... I know that from my history, I have a history of a lot of familial abuse, emotional abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that self-worth, when you don't have a healthy reflection from your parents, self-worth can get really confusing. But Chris, I don't know if you experience that, but you still experience problems with self-worth.
My self-worth is at an absolute all-time low. As of this recording, I've probably been... I find myself so utterly worthless that I feel no drive, no strive to want to improve myself. It is so utterly, like, I literally wake up and just kind of sit there and go, like, everything I'm doing, everyone I spend time with, every part of my personage, whether it's manufactured or natural, is just a facade waiting to collapse. So while I may get to that point where, you know, I want to improve myself or I want to get better, I just don't actually feel like it.
When you feel... How are you coping with how low your self-worth is right now? How do you go through your day?
I don't. I mean, I go on autopilot constantly. My days are... Wake up, take dog out for a walk, get ready for work, go to work, work all day, care about work, which is funny. Leave work, drive home, sit in front of computer, taking care of things that need to get taken care of, and then once I'm done with that, then go ahead and call it a day. Go to sleep, wake up, rinse, repeat.
What? So I'm assuming that a lot of you out there are experiencing the same thing. And Chris, what would you like to say to commiserate?
Hey guys, fuck, it sucks, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. What are you going to do about it? If you're like me, you're going to do absolutely nothing about it until you get to a point where you can't do nothing anymore. You finally hit that breaking point where you're so sick and tired of being sick and tired that nothing will stand in your way of getting better. Except yourself. And it's a guarantee that you will have to struggle with yourself. And it's going to be an almost everlasting struggle that feels like it will take forever. And I've had this struggle now 5-6 years, give or take. This is the longest that it has been at such a low point, though. For me, at least. This is like retreating so far back. I've given up so much ground. I don't know how to combat this at this point. So I'll have to figure something out.
I would like to take this moment, Chris, and everybody who's listening who's also at a point where your self-worth is really low, and remind you guys that it's not going to feel like this forever. You are not always going to have to suffer this. It will take some work and change on your part, but you don't have to live this way. I went through, I would say, the majority of my 20s having the most horrific self-worth, and everything that was negative was just an additional, yep, exactly, this is a confirmation that I am garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And it took needing, you need help.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can do it alone. I'm sure some people, you know, through meditation and reading self-help books and stuff have managed to. I personally, I needed help. I needed therapy, and I needed to practice things on my own, but it doesn't have to be forever. And it's horrible that you're going through this right now. And I'm so sorry, Chris. I didn't know that you were at a point like that right now.
Yeah.
But you are worth love, and you are worth success, and you are worth good friendships, and you are worth all the good things that happen to you. And I know that maybe you don't feel that, but you are. You are. You are. Okay?
Yeah. It's something that I've had to kind of come to deal with. And I think the reason why I've fallen so far and I've gotten so low is because I did honestly just tell myself that, no, you need to do this alone this time.
Yeah.
The last two times I did have help where the last two times I lost weight and got to a happy point in my life where I felt good and I wanted to wake up and I didn't feel fucking miserable all the time. And I had incredible help. Somebody who not only helped me physically actually get shit done, but they helped me mentally and emotionally, and they were there, and it was great, and I could go to them multiple times a week, and it was just it was climbing a mountain with rope, but now I feel like I'm climbing a mountain just with, like, bare fingers and toes.
Why don't you want help?
I don't want to be reliant on someone else for the rest of my life to make sure that I take care of myself. That's where that comes from.
And why do you think getting help to get out of this means that you will need that help forever?
Due to the failures that I've had since. Like, the fact that I went from being 180 and I went down to 145. Then I went up to 198. Then I went down to 139. Mm-hmm. Then I ballooned up now to where I am almost literally 100 pounds heavier. Mm-hmm. And it's always been when I stopped seeing that person, that trainer, or that therapist, or whatever. And I would always hit that point when I just couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't afford it, or I didn't have time, or the energy, or I hurt myself. And it was always something that kind of had to push me. I needed that push. But I'm not getting that push now, or I'm getting that push, but I'm not getting that push in the way that actually pushes me. Like, that was what happened in my last relationship, was that she wanted to push me. She wanted me to feel better about myself. And after a while there, I started getting resentful of it. I felt resentment to somebody wanting me to be better. And I couldn't believe that was the thing that was going on. Was just, I didn't want to be reliant on somebody pushing me. I didn't want to be a fucking wheelbarrow being pushed through life, carrying all this shit.
I don't think getting help and figuring shit out means, first of all, that you're gonna need that for the rest of your life. And I know that's been the cycle, mm-hmm. but again, like with all cycles, I think you can break it. Just from my own experience, look, we're not therapists, we're not doctors, but I am in the opposite situation where for the first time of my life, I have very high self-worth. Now, my self-esteem doesn't always great, but my self-worth is something that I have worked at relentlessly because I realized that I would rely on other people mm-hmm. for my self-worth. So my relationships, whether they were my friendships or my romantic partners, and it was just too heavy for them and not healthy for me. And through a lot of work, eventually, and yes, I still go to therapy almost every week. And that doesn't mean that I need her to be a good person. But having help as a human being, there's nothing wrong with having continuous help and support. We need that. We're human. We're not supposed to do everything by ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, and it's okay to have those people that help you become a better you. Yeah. Sometimes you marry somebody who makes you a better you. Sometimes you have a therapist. Sometimes it's your parent. It's okay. And now I think it's interesting that you are aware of the cycle that you go through. If you don't want to have this person that you rely on, this is what I would say, is maybe have that for a while. Get to a point where you feel healthier and better about yourself, and then start creating other avenues of support, whether it's your friendships, maybe trying a new therapist, but different things so that you can wean yourself off this person and have these other places that are still helping grow your self-worth that's not tied to this one person pushing you. And it sounds like it's coming from your weight.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I've attributed so much of my self-worth, hilariously enough, to just a combination of my weight and my ability to get shit done.
Because Chris, how I see you is, and I think sometimes when you're depressed, it's hard, and you're having low self-worth, it's hard to see this of yourself. But I see somebody who is incredibly giving. I see somebody who's intelligent, brilliant creatively. You're caring of your family. You help your family members. You're always available emotionally mm-hmm. for other people to reach out to. You have a successful job and people who like you at your job. Like, people go to work and sometimes they have coworkers don't like them. You have a symbol of that you can now have your own key card.
I have a key card. Yay.
And I see somebody who is continuing to try to grow as a healthy and mentally put together person. And that is so amazing. And I am so proud and excited and happy that you're my friend.
Oh, thank you, Lindsay.
You're welcome. But your self-worth and who you, how worthy you are, has nothing to do with what you look like.
Yeah.
You are invaluable to me.
Wow. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. And I know you don't feel that way, but I wanted you to hear how you seem to other people.
Yeah, no, that's definitely, it's something that I forget and kind of put on back burners a lot of the time. It's just the idea that, no, there's people out there that like me and care about me, and while I'm not attributing my entire self-worth or my entire self-esteem on what others and outside influences make of me, I'm...
It's so good to hear, I think.
It's still, you know, it's something that I can't deny. Yeah. It's something that I can't sit there and just go, no, you're full of shit.
No, and it's proof to yourself that there is worthiness inside of you. It's just another token, like the key card.
Yay.
And I think you've tied in your success on the weight loss pretty heavily. What do you think you can do to build up your self-worth without losing the weight?
Well, that's the trick, isn't it? Like, for me, at least, my successes are... I don't really set up goals for myself a lot of the times, which I know is definitely a contributing factor. Because when I set up goals, I don't set up due dates. I don't set up anything like that. It's very wishy-washy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure that it would benefit me immensely if I were to actually set a goal and set that in stone, where it's like, nope, this is what I need to do. This is when I need it to be done. And this is how I'm going to do it on this day, this day, this day, this day. And so I got to work on that for sure. And it ties in a lot to, you know, being able to re-bolster my self-worth. Because when I was just 5 years ago, let's start there. Because like 5 years ago, I had enormous self-worth.
Mm.
I was so like, I was out there trying my damnedest to get others in that same mindset,
mm-hmm.
where they could just go, you know, I was doing a thing on Reddit called All Caps Motivation, where all we did was just practically just like scream really encouraging things at each other in all caps text. And like, that was amazing. That did so much for me. And it did so much for other people who for whatever reason that spoke to them. Like that notion of just, yeah, let's fucking, you know what? You know what helps you? Being screamed at like a really supportive drill sergeant. That's what helps you. It's not somebody telling you what a maggot you are and how miserable you should be. No. It's, you got this shit. Fuck off all those negative feelings. You're a fucking cool dude. Like, that stuff somehow was more helpful to me than anything else.
So maybe that's a place to start.
Maybe. It might not be a bad idea. I think this is also a place to start. This is podcast.
Yeah.
The concept for today's episode was actually a recommendation from a lot of listeners. So I want to just get that out there, say thank you guys for listening.
Yeah.
Because, and your comments and your messages.
And the suggestions, because it's important for me to be able to hear that other people are going through the same stuff that I've either gone through or I'm going through right now. Mm-hmm. And you guys want to hear about it. I mean, I never know exactly what people want to hear about.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of it's an interesting thing when you get to be actually communicating with your listeners and you get to a point where we know we're not alone. Yeah. Because we are in the same room. And we both have these things where we're just like, yeah, no, totally. Me too. But I know that a lot of folks out there don't have that. They don't have another person that they can talk to and just go, oh shit, really? Yeah, no, I never had that. I never had anybody to tell me that what I was thinking was okay, or that what I was thinking was even just a thing that people thought.
Yeah.
So,
and that there's so many variations of the depression and how it manifests. I love that I'm an introvert. Chris is an extrovert. I have many siblings. Chris is an only child.
Yep.
I had a lot of abuse that happened that really changed my life and how my depression kind of created. And you had a big, you had a death.
I had a death, yeah.
Very early on. So there's these very different ways that they've manifested. But I think that helps me talk to other people in real life also. Because I can now see, wow, this person actually might be depressed. And they're just putting on this happy, intense facade, and they're making a lot of jokes, and they're really, like, performing right now, and they're not necessarily happy. Mm-hmm.
I've also gotten people who've messaged us and told us that they do not suffer depression,
mm-hmm.
but they have been thankful because they have been able to use the knowledge that they've got from the podcast to just go, okay, that I can understand this now. This is actually kind of something that I had difficulty grasping, or I've never been through it myself, and this is very enlightening.
You know what, actually, it's funny, it helps me too. I feel like depression is kind of like black magic, because when you're not in it, and you're not depressed, and you have high self-worth and high self-esteem, it is so easy to forget what it's like when you're in the midst of it. It just kind of goes from, so it's hard for me to discuss it with people, and so being able to do these podcasts, listen back, and put myself in the headspace sometimes is really good. And right now I'm not going through depression.
Which is great.
But also I know and I'm okay with the fact that it will happen again because I have cyclical depression.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that each time I go in, it's a little bit better. But we were talking about success. And for me, my success right now is that I am successfully becoming more aware of myself and healthier. And I'm making an effort to reach out and let people know when I need help.
That is great success.
And I didn't have very good self-worth for a long time. I mentioned that I had a family member who basically pushed the idea upon me that I was nothing, that I was disgusting, that I was unlovable, that I had created, that I was a liar, and that I was just basically unlovable, that I would be sent away. And this was from a person who I valued highly. So my self-worth was zero. And I was in bad relationships. I tried to use people as antidepressants without knowing. I mean, when you're like this, when you're in this kind of headspace, you're just a time bomb. You have no idea how bad it is. You don't even know what you're really going through. I didn't know that I was that depressed. I didn't know that my self-worth was that terrible. I had no idea. And then I kept finding, wow, I keep getting in toxic relationships, and mm-hmm. they keep hurting me really badly and messing me up worse. What am I doing wrong? And so I think it's important just even taking time to Google how to build your self-worth and then to start practicing and have the discipline for each day to set a little time aside to be kind to yourself and good to yourself. Have goals, like you're saying, Chris. And you know, when you don't hit some of those goals, to be loving of yourself and know, you know, I will try better next time.
Mm-hmm. Also, you should like sweat for 5 minutes a day. That's a good idea,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah, God. Well, we don't want to talk about I hate working out.
No, just, no, see, this is what I'm saying. Like, you don't have to work out. Just sit there and just like, just sweat. Just like tell your pores, okay, open up. Sweat.
But anyway, I would also just like to make a comment. This is the disgusting sweat comments, Chris. For a lot of you girls out there who are dealing with depression and self-worth, I would just like to remind you, because someone reminded me this when I was going through it, that again, your worth as a woman is not what you look like. And I know our culture has created the illusion that if you are a particular body type and a particular personality type, that you're just the number one, you know, and that's just, it's not the way it is. We need different body types and different personality. I am not an extrovert. I felt so bizarre when I'd go to parties and I would like take a break and go to the bathroom just to be alone for a little bit, or hang out in the corner with the animal or whatever, you know. And I've been somebody who was very, very thin for a long time, and I've been somebody who was not that. And I can tell you that seeing my self-worth go back and forth and feeling like I'm just not lovable, and that's just something that isn't true. And I think as women, we, unfortunately, this culture really emphasizes on how you look, and I'm sorry that that's the way it is.
I think maybe next week we should talk on body image.
Yeah, I think that would be really fun.
I think that should be good. For us, follow us on Instagram at Hey Who Podcast. Like our Facebook page. And if you want to send us something directly, go ahead and email mailbag@howareyouholdingup.com. We will absolutely love to hear from you folks.
Yeah, and we do have a shout out, actually.
We do. A special, extra special thank you. And our feel-good link of the week is going to go to a podcast called Scare You to Sleep. It is hosted by my friend Shelby, who gave us an amazing shout out last week.
Thank you, Shelby.
She does an amazing job doing spooky stories that with an ASMR twist to them. I love that. So I highly recommend that you go and listen to that. She's got a sweet back catalog going on right now. She's going to start expanding the length of the episodes from the standard, like, about 30 minutes per episode to give about 45 minutes to an hour. So that's going to start coming soon. And it is absolutely an amazing watch. And listen, I mean, you know.
Thank you guys so much for listening in. I'm so grateful to be able to do this and have you guys give us comments and feedback. Thank you. And as always,
don't tell us to just get over it.